Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Christmas Eve, Tuesday, December the 24th, two organizations respond to Pope Francis' call to resolve the global debt crisis. Archbishop Timothy Broglio welcomes President Biden's commutation of 37 federal death row inmates. But first, for the first time ever, the Pope will open a fifth holy door in a Roman prison to open the Jubilee. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie. Following tradition, Pope Francis will inaugurate the 2025 Jubilee year with the opening of a holy door at St. Peter's Basilica this evening, followed by Christmas Eve Mass. In the coming days, the holy doors of the other three major basilicas in Rome will also be opened. But for the first time ever in this long-standing Jubilee tradition, the Pope will open a fifth holy door in a Roman prison as a gesture of hope, showing his ongoing closeness to detainees, which has been consistent throughout his pontificate. As Lisa Zangarini reports, this unprecedented event will take place on December 26th at the Rebibbia New Complex Prison.
This is not the first time Pope Francis testifies his closeness to inmates through a comforting and prayerful presence. Throughout his pontificate, he has shown a deep and consistent concern for detainees, emphasizing the need for compassion. At the heart of his advocacy is a call for recognizing the inherent dignity of all human beings, including those who are incarcerated. A key aspect of this advocacy are his reiterated calls for abolishing the death penalty, along with his outspoken criticism of life imprisonment, advocating instead for systems that prioritize rehabilitation and social reintegration. His calls extend to addressing systemic issues in prisons, such as overcrowding, inhumane conditions, and the marginalization of inmates. Pope Francis' actions speak louder than his words, as is the case of his tradition of performing the Holy Thursday foot-washing ritual in prisons. This highly symbolic gesture challenges societal prejudices and conveys a message of solidarity. Additionally, during his apostolic journeys, the Pope regularly visits prisons, as he did in Philadelphia in 2015, and in Ciudad Juarez in Mexico in 2016, where he offered messages of hope and reminded inmates of their capacity of transformation. The underlying idea, as he has often repeated on several occasions, is that no one is beyond God's mercy and redemption, even those who have committed the most heinous crimes. He reiterated this message more recently during his visit to Rebibbia's women's section on Holy Thursday, in which he reminded the inmates that Jesus never tires of forgiving. Also in April this year, at the Giudecca Women's Prison in Venice, the Pope remarked that despite hardships, prison can become the worksite for rebuilding lives and encouraged the inmates to always look to the future with hope. I am Lisa Zangarini.
Along with the theme of hope for the Jubilee, Pope Francis has also named debt resolution as a top priority for the year. With 3.3 million people living in countries that spend more on debt service than on health, the Initiative for Policy Dialogue and the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences have published proposals aimed at addressing the debt crisis affecting the Global South and the entire world. In an interview with Vatican Radio, I spoke to Professor Joseph Stiglitz, founder of IPD, about the impact of prioritizing debt over health, education, and development.
Poor countries have very limited opportunities of raising revenue and a lot of demands on those revenues. And so they have typically very, very limited budgetary space. If you spend more in writing checks to creditors in the United States or in Europe, you have less money to spend on education, health, and development. So that's really the point, that it's really taking food out of babies' mouths. It's taking money that could have gone to vaccines or to primary care, basic care for children, and people will die as a result. And it's taking away money that could be spent on development projects that could enable the country and the poorest in the country to get out of the poverty in which they've been for so long.
Pope Francis talked about or called for the multinational mechanism, which should be a part of how to resolve the debt crisis that we're facing in the world. What does that mean, calling for this multinational mechanism? What would that look like?
There's a particular, I would say, shortage of moral global leadership as opposed to a strong-arm leadership. And the Pope provides that kind of global moral political leadership. And so for me, I'm not a Catholic, but for me, the Pope's call is extraordinarily important. He's trying to bring the world together in a moral call to do right by billions of people in the world for whom this debt is crowding out education, health, investments for development, and climate.
That was Professor Joseph Stiglitz speaking about the impact of prioritizing debt over health, education, and development. In another interview with Vatican Media, Archbishop Timothy Broglio, the president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, welcomed the news of President Joe Biden commuting the sentences of 37 of 40 prisoners on federal death row. Speaking to Deborah Castellano-Luboff, the Archbishop for the Military Services in the U.S., noted the American president's decision is consistent with Pope Francis's December 8th appeals to reconsider the prisoners' fate and respond with mercy, especially as the Jubilee is beginning.
I'm very, very pleased that President Biden heeded the request of Pope Francis and many, many others to make this gesture, which demonstrates respect for human life, while at the same time recognizing that these individuals have a responsibility to society, but that their lives should not be taken from them. So I'm very grateful for the president's action, and it's certainly a very fitting way for him to end his presidency.
And what can U.S. Catholics do to foster human dignity? There are so many still on death row. What can be done for working to abolish the death penalty?
I think we have to continue our advocacy for life from conception to natural death. I think that's something that we can raise our voices in favor. Certainly no one is sponsoring criminal activity, but we do want to say that we have systems that can protect society, and so we should make a move to end something which is often barbaric, that is the killing of criminals. So I think we do that at the state level now and hope that that we can have the same effect that the appeals have had on the federal level.
Certainly, this seems significant with the fact that the Jubilee begins, will be inaugurated by Pope Francis here in the Vatican. It seems like the timing is a bit interesting.
It is. It is a very appropriate timing. The theme of the Jubilee year is one of hope. And so I think we always hold out hope for a better society, a society that's more reflective of Christ's great gift of love to the world, which we celebrate at Christmas and at Easter. And so it's significant that these two events coincide.
That was the president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, Archbishop Timothy Broglio, speaking to Deborah Castellano-Luboff. In the Middle East, representing a unique model of coexistence and diversity in the Kurdistan region in Iraq, students of different faiths at the Catholic University in Erbil have joined together in an annual tradition of celebrating Christmas together. Deborah Castellano-Luboff tells us more.
Students from a variety of religious and cultural backgrounds at the Catholic University in Erbil are celebrating the Nativity of the Lord together. The gesture reflects its goal of being an educational and humanitarian institution that embraces everyone without discrimination. At the campus, Christmas has become a symbol of cultural unity, with Muslims participating alongside Christians in the season's preparations, including the decorating of the Christmas tree. This event, which has grown significantly due to the students' interest in having this exchange and moment with one another, has become an annual tradition. Despite having the name The Catholic University, this year there was an immense turnout from various religions, which reflects the increasing trust that Catholic education and the Catholic University have gained in the region. This academic year, the university, whose 750 students represent a diverse mix of religious and cultural backgrounds, witnessed the highest number of admissions rates since its establishment. The launch of the Catholic University in Erbil, which today has become a symbol of academic excellence, cultural diversity, and religious coexistence, was only possible thanks to the donations of the Italian Bishops' Conference. The university, now a home for many academics from different religions, emphasizes a multicultural and multi-religious academic environment. Moreover, it is also a leading destination for numerous governmental and non-governmental organizations, as well as a home to different medical, scientific, and educational conferences. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Each year, in the days surrounding Christmas, Vatican Radio invites Christian leaders and heads of charitable organizations around the world to send Christmas greetings to our listeners. Today's message comes from the newly created Cardinal Tarcisio Isao Kikuchi, Archbishop of Tokyo since 2017.
The light that shines through the darkness is a light of hope. For travelers who lost their way forward and are wandering around in the darkness, especially deep darkness, even a small and tiny light becomes a source of hope. Our life is a journey. We are travelers. We are travelers who are moving forward toward the eternal life in the kingdom of heaven, wandering around in darkness, trying to find the way to God. Traveling alone is not easy. We would be overwhelmed by fear and anxiety. But we know that we have the one who walks with us. The Lord Jesus, who walks with us on this journey, is a shining light in the darkness. In the world today, various forms of violence are attacking life. The world seems to be dominated by the rule of violence. We remember people in Myanmar, Ukraine, and the Holy Land, especially in Gaza. We remember people living in darkness of violence against human lives all over the world. Life, the gift of God has given us, must be protected from its beginning to its end without exception. Violence that takes away life in any form must not be tolerated. Protecting life is the source of the light of hope. We, the Church, is called to be a source of hope, not despair. During the coming Jubilee year, we, the Church, have to open our doors wide to offer refuge and comfort to travelers wandering in darkness. We are to be bearers of that shining light of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know Jesus Himself is always with us, walking together, encouraging us to keep a light of hope burning.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Make sure to follow the live coverage of the opening of the Holy Door in Christmas Eve Mass on all our platforms. Many thanks go to Daniele Giorgi in studio. I'm Kelsey Gussie, and on behalf of all of us here at Vatican Radio, a very Merry Christmas to you all.